and welcome to episode 6 of A Tale of Two Counties podcast. And episode 6 is the last in this series. And I'm really disappointed, Matt, hello, that we've made it to this point without a jingle.
I know. How have we managed to get people listening to us and no jingle and no high production values? It seems daft, doesn't it? But you've also not introduced yourself again because you're so big time now and so famous.
But, oh, I'm sorry, but by the last episode, I think people know, right? Even the people in America know.
The people in America, yeah. I can feel you building up to your feature again here.
Yeah. So those that listened to the last episode, episode 5, we introduced a new feature to the pod, and I think we can call it a pod now, that was called Give Us a Stat, Matt. So I'm hoping you've got some stats lined up for us. Yep. Otherwise, this feature is going to rapidly decline.
Well, anybody who follows Active Lincolnshire or Active Dorset on Twitter will have seen in the last few weeks we surpassed 2,000 downloads. This is where like a decent DJ would have some buttons to press now with fanfare and all sorts, wouldn't they? But we haven't, so I'll just have to, you know, settle for a woo.
Do you want me to do a drum roll?
Yeah, yeah, bang on the desk. But 2,300 downloads as we record this, which I think's quite good. Certainly, it means that it's more than just your mum and my dad and local grannies that have been listening, which has been great. But for this feature, I've gone for which country in the world do you think makes up the top three for the most downloads of our international podcast?
Ooh.
Now, whilst you're thinking, I'll fill the dead space by saying America is our number one download. So hello to all of our American listeners. And then
hello,
the United
America.
Kingdom is second. So who do you think makes up the top three?
Well, I'm sticking with the theme of an English-speaking country.
Okay.
Because we haven't yet got to translating. And I struggle to manage basic French. So I think if we get to international listeners that aren't speaking English, I'm going to struggle. However, so on that basis, I'll go with Australia.
I can tell you it's not. It's Mexico. And I can follow it up with a really interesting stat. Nobody in Australia has downloaded the podcast.
Oh.
So if you know anybody out there in Australia, we could just do with one download and then it'll just look pretty on the map, on the stats map.
Yeah, that would be great.
There you go.
Come
Should
on,
we get on with it?
Our Commonwealth friends. Let's get on with it. And I think we've said last episode, but I think you are touting a Christmas special, like all good sitcoms, just like Gavin and Stacey. We'll have our own Christmas special.
Yeah, I think we
possibly.
Yeah. Matt and Charlie's Christmas special. Yeah, well, I think there's some interesting things in and around the NHS at Christmas that we could talk about. So yeah, maybe we can spin it out for a Christmas special. So this is episode 6, the final one in the series, unless we do a Christmas special.
Okay, and I think our topic for today is a bit around measurement, evaluation and learning. So how do we measure the work we're doing in health, given that it can be a little bit different to other work we might be doing around, for example, school games and CYP, where we might be able to count numbers and impact in that way. And Matt, you're on fire with the guests because it's your turn again to have a guest.
Yeah, well, I'm very pleased to welcome to our podcast Dr. Rebecca O'Connor of Rock Research Consultancy. Rebecca's an experienced academic researcher. She specialises in qualitative research methods and evaluation. She's over 10 years research experience in the health, welfare and business sector. And prior to that, had some successful career as a physiotherapist in the NHS and also in the private sector. So, ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca O'Connor. Cue jingle. No jingle. Woo!
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you very much for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. And I guess it probably would help to say how come you're kind of my guest, as Charlie put it, because you've been working with us in Lincolnshire, haven't you? So do you want to share a little bit about that to kick us off?
Yes, indeed. I have indeed. So I was commissioned about 15 months ago to work with Matt and the rest of the team at Lincolnshire to evaluate their embedding physical activity in healthcare systems piece of work. So that's what I'm here to talk about today and share some of the learning from that.
I want to take you back to what will probably be about 17, 18 months ago, Becca, when I phoned you up because I think I found your phone number on a report you'd done for some other active partnerships. Was it Derbyshire and Nottingham?
I'm in Derbyshire. I've been working with them for a couple of years before on very similar pieces of work around physical activity and systems and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, which we'll get into. Yeah, we'll get into a bit of that in a minute. But that phone call, I remember stood in my garden because the sun was shining, ringing you up thinking, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say to you other than I've got a brief to find a researcher to do something around looking at what all this means. I have just started this new job. How do I start this conversation? And then fortunately, you were really, really helpful. And you helped me not only put the tender together for telling me what things to be looking for, but then obviously submitted a tender yourself and was our chosen provider. So, thanks for that.
And maybe scaring you as well, that actually maybe it was quite a bit bigger project than you initially thought.
100%. Yeah. I'm still scared now with how big a project this is. But yeah, at that moment in time from where I'd come from to just, and I guess anyone listening that is thinking about the first time of asking a researcher to work with them. Yeah, I knew I had to find out stuff and I knew I wanted to know what was going on, but what is the stuff? What is the thing that you're trying to evaluate? And yeah, coming from, as Charlie mentioned, a CYP background, for me, it was easy to say last year we had 6,335 children take part in physical activities that we'd coordinated. Easy to measure, but impact and embedding and oh yeah. So I'm looking forward to picking some of that apart. But I've mentioned Charlie twice, so let's just help us out here, Charlie. So before I started Active Lincolnshire, you must have had a conversation with somebody and said you need to evaluate this healthcare work, Malak. How did that go? What happened there?
Yes, that's right. We did. We had that conversation with Sport England, and I think we'd evaluated the change in our work, endorse it and realised it was really valuable to reflect on what's changing, see the bits that are making a difference and are having an impact and changing, but also what's not working and why isn't it, and get other people's perspectives. So not just your own from the Active Partnership, but your stakeholders' view, because they'll be having a different experience to you. And I think we found that process really, really valuable to evolve our work, our style, our approach as we go along. So it almost becomes live learning in action, if you like. And we thought that was a key part of whatever you were hoping to do in Lincolnshire, actually having some sense of what it was like at the start and then what it's like a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, because sometimes change is quite hard to see. And probably people listening might be doing work, and sometimes you're so stuck in the doing and the detail and the day to day, it's really hard to feel like things are changing. You might feel that things are getting stuck, but it's really useful to have someone external look at the momentum of your work and the change that's happening that you might not be aware of. So that's why we were quite keen for you guys to have some sort of measurement, evaluation and learning as part of your project.
And from what I gathered from coming in, you know, everybody at Lincolnshire wanted that as well, and we wanted to be able to capture it so we could exactly that, be able to almost chart the course of what's changing and see it. So there's the background, Rebecca. Then you've got this bloke with this, he's clearly not from Lincolnshire, this dodgy Yorkshire accent, rings you up. Why on earth did you want to get involved with this?
Well, good question, really. I must have been mad, I guess. But it's really what I've been doing, the pieces of work that they're doing, which is around really trying to get people more physically active in the various different contexts that they're in. Now, I think evaluation is a really interesting word, because I am an evaluator. I track and I look at what's going on in these really complex pieces of work, but I don't think it's evaluation in what the traditional sense of the word. I don't count things particularly often. I talk much around what Charlie was just talking about, perspectives, understanding sort of what's going on in this complexity of the mess that sort of is going on in this kind of really, really interesting but really difficult to describe work. And that's what appealed to me, kind of getting involved with working with Active Lincolnshire. Now, having those initial conversations, it was quite clear that you perhaps hadn't worked in that way before, and perhaps Active Lincolnshire hadn't worked in that way before as well. And I think there's a lot around, and I think that's a really good reflection point as well, around what are the expectations of evaluation, and are you kind of ready to get into the nitty-gritty and understanding of how things are working? Because although I am external, and I provide that independent kind of voice and perspective about what's going on. So through interviewing, observing what's happening, and trying to pull that together with themes to then present back to pieces of the work. I'm also kind of internal as well. I've sat through the whole process in the steering group. I've been there. I've kind of like, I think like those boundaries are quite blurred, and I think that's an important part of the process as well, to have that trust in me that I am kind of almost your critical friend, that I can kind of, I can take a step back, provide an independent overview of what's happening, but also raise some really challenging questions for you to actually kind of discuss as well. So it's that kind of being out and being in role that I really, really enjoy working in that way, which hopefully is what you've got from me over the last year or so.
Definitely. And I think some of the meetings that I've chosen to leave you out of, getting you involved, getting you involved with those meetings where I'm going into it kind of, I think I know what I'm doing, but having that extra person for support and to be able to reflect on it, it's really, really beneficial. I think we're going to talk more about some of the relationship stuff in a minute. But just on that, Charlie, when you saw that we were going to have this support, what does that mean for your organisation in being able to have Active Dorset Sea, Active Lincolnshire being evaluated? And I mean that in the loosest term.
I think it was really interesting to observe the different approach that Becca brought to your evaluation and the experience that we've had with other organisations that have done evaluation for us. Becca, your approach is much less academic, isn't it? It is like you are that critical friend, and I was really surprised in it was such a refreshing approach that you've taken, where you said a little bit there, but Matt would organise the steering group meeting with the key stakeholders and you'd attend and observe. And then I think a couple of months later, we had a session where you reflected back some of the learning and observations you've been making about how things were changing or where things were stuck. And it's really interesting. You know, I think on Word, you have that, there used to be that little paperclip that's like, hey, can I help you? Or do you want to do this? You were like that little paperclip for Matt in the background in the early days. Like, have you thought about this? Or maybe if you phrased it like that.
Paperclip. I've got a paperclip pot, me. I've got both of you two and Chloe and plenty of Lorna, all them, multiple paperclips holding me together, I think, through this process. But yeah, definitely. And I think that's probably where we need to pick into it a little bit, is some of that. Where do we start from? What's that first piece of thing that we need to do? Go on, Becca, you.
Well, I was going to say, I think that kind of that idea that I am an academic by background. I've got a PhD, which is around looking at organisational behaviour and commissioning. So, you know, really sort of rich background in terms of understanding how different organisations work together in the NHS to commission services. But I'm also a physio by background. I'm used to working with people on a very kind of like intimate, practical level. So I kind of like develop my business to be able to kind of bring the best of both for that as well. So my research and my evaluation work is very much grounded in theory. So I use a lot of the same methods. I use interviews, I use observation, and I pull it all apart, theme it, and present it back. But I want it to feel like real life as well. I want it to be meaningful to people I'm working with, so that they can actually grasp it, take hold of it, and use it, as opposed to it being this kind of quite difficult abstract report, I suppose. So that's what I try and do. I try and bridge that gap between academia and practicalities. And what I'm also really passionate about is it not being just a report at the end of the 18 months or 2 year or whatever it is period. It's about actually being able to use that in real time, really get a grasp of what's happening in the here and now, so that it can actually inform decisions as they're happening, not in retrospect going, oh, well, perhaps we should have thought about that earlier, if we'd have known a bit more about this. So that's really kind of how I tend to use my approach, which I call it an embedded researcher approach, because I try and embed myself within the work that's going on. And that has got its challenges as well. It's certainly not a foolproof method at all, but it's about trying to make it adaptive and reactive for the client.
So we had our first baseline kind of interviews, didn't we? Let's talk about that process. So for me, I guess I've got a request, haven't I? I go of Matt, can you provide me with some names of some people you'd like to speak to? And Charlie, I asked you to help me with that first list because I'm thinking, well, who actually do I need to hear from about this? So we agreed on people like somebody at the ICS as it is now, somebody in public health, the commission service for the integrated lifestyle, you know, let's talk to, you know, One New Lincolnshire for us, and a few pathway people. So how did that go for you, Becca, at the start in talking to those people about Active Lincolnshire?
Well, this is kind of how I like to start all evaluations, really, because it's a learning process for me. I've got to kind of get to know you and get to know your partners as well. So I like to start all evaluations in this way, to really try to drill down into understanding what makes you all tick. What's your agenda? How are you working? And what are your perceptions about each other? And that, for me, was one of the really important early learning points as well. Active Lincolnshire have gone through a really big change over the last few years. There's been lots of change in personnel and lots of change in approach as well, which through both a kind of internal thing and the directive from Sport England. And so they were kind of learning who they are in that kind of like process. And I think when we did those baseline interviews, I don't think you quite knew what you were or where you were going at that point. And so when I was then interviewing your partners in public health and the various other ones that you talked about, it was quite clear talking to them that they recognised and they valued that change. They recognised and valued you as a partner, but they weren't really very clear about what it was that you were doing or what you were trying to achieve. And so I think that was kind of like one of the big points right at the beginning is kind of opening everyone's eyes to the fact that nobody quite knows what the lie of the land is. Nobody really knows what Active Lincolnshire want to do, because they know that they've changed, but we don't really know how they've changed and what they want to achieve. But also maybe that idea that perhaps Active Lincolnshire don't know that either, and that maybe needs to kind of like sit in the background of conversations, that, you know, don't assume that your partners understand what you're trying to do. Don't assume that you know what you're trying to do. You need to kind of unpick that and talk about it and be a little bit more open and vulnerable with partners as well, in kind of expressing that's where we're at the moment, and to try and sort of stimulate the conversation and actually work on those things together.
And I think that links back to things we've talked about on previous episodes, Charlie, where like the size of organization that we are, you know, Active Partnerships are not you know, man for man, they are much smaller, aren't they, than the NHS partners we're working with. So we're batting above our weight division in many ways. But I think in that moment when Rebecca's having those conversations with my partners and finding out, yeah, I don't think I truly know what it is I'm doing because I've never done it before. There's an element of me learning on the job, like most people will do, but in a position where I think I know what I want. I think, but I don't know. That probably looks better on screen rather than on a podcast. But that idea that you think you know where you want to go, but you don't really know. It's not really being tested. And so we caught that moment, didn't we? Were you trying to come in then, Charlie? I talked over you then.
No, it's all right. I was just listening. But I think that is quite unique in that, like Becca said, it's quite, you have to be quite vulnerable. And I think you were, as an Active Partnership, in that we're changing how we want to work with you. You might have seen us as this, I don't know, delivery partner in the past, and now we want to move to a more collaborative relationship, or we haven't done lots in health, but we want to. But that provided what I saw, that human element to you. They were able to engage with you because you were quite open and human about it, and you'll say, well, I think we want to do this, and this is what we're looking at. Do you want to join in? Do you want to be part of that? And they were like, oh yeah, that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. It was a lot more engaging than had you sort of said, here's our 5-year strategy for Active Lincolnshire and what we're going to do over the next 5 years. We want to talk to you about it. Actually, the way that you did that in a more open way and talking about the change and where you think you wanted to go felt like you got more engagement from your partners. I don't know what that felt like to you, Matt, when you were new and you were starting.
Well, when I'm like trying to swim but feel like I'm drowning. No, that was definitely it. Not that it was a tactic, but that's the situation we're in, where okay, this is where we think we want to go. But I want to kind of sort of share some thoughts here around what people thought Active Lincolnshire were at that moment, because I think there's colleagues across the country who will be in a similar position where they will have partners who think you're interested in getting some money to deliver a certain contract, or you're a competitor because you want to do X and Y. And I think that's, you know, we've talked on previous podcasts about it, but I'm reiterating the point from a research point of view. You probably had partners sharing with you, didn't you, that they didn't know where our place was in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that tension between collaboration and competition is a really important one, both for active partnerships but and the wider health system as well. The health system's a market, and you know, we have to remember that. And so there are certain behaviours and things that are inherent with market principles. But yet, we all know around health that we're trying to collaborate, we're trying to work in part, move from being partners to working in partnership. And what does that actually mean? And all those kind of ingrained behaviours have been there for so long, and it's trying to break those down. So, but also kind of like to be able to kind of satisfy both agendas as well. You want to be collaborative, but you've also got this competition whirring away in the background as well. And how do you kind of negotiate that sort of in practice? You know, what does that actually mean for how you work? And that's kind of like one of the, I remember the year interview that we did with, baseline 6 month interview we did with One New Lincolnshire. That was that competition v collaboration thing was one thing that you really noticed the change in the interviews. So in that really early stage, they were, felt really very much like they could be quite threatened by a relationship with Active Lincolnshire, that there was this tension. Do they want to take our business away from us? What does that actually mean? But actually Matt then took that and they changed the way that they were working. They had monthly meetings. They talked to each other. They were much more open with each other. That repeat interview I did 6 months later, it was like talking to a different partner. They were talking about, we now understand each other. We now know what collaboration means. We now know how we're working together. We're trying to work for the same agenda. We're not trying to compete with it. And actually what they were thinking about then is, what's the next step? How can we take this into the wider system? So again, that was kind of like, and it's really difficult to actually kind of like tangibly say, this is the evidence to say that this is how we're working. But using those kind of like anecdotal examples of how just that real change in what that relationship means is kind of what this evaluation is about. It's about finding those stories and showing actually how working in a slightly different way can change the way that things happen within the system. And I think that's a real success story for what you've been doing.
Yeah, I'll just make sure I've got a note of that for my appraisal. That's really important. And I'll, to be totally like transparent with it, which is what I feel like I am always having to be with you, Rebecca. But I made a decision that I didn't want, certainly one you in that example, but a few other partners as well, to be thinking that we had any agenda around competition when we were talking about some of the key things that Lincolnshire needs and the way we want it to work. So I think that feedback from you probably was enough of an alarm bell for me as an operator to be going, all right, I need to be doing something different here. I need to make sure that I'm clear. It almost bumps it up my list of priorities, clarity over role and how it fits. And then you kind of get tuned in, don't you? So when little flags are waved around, oh, there could be an issue here, you can almost like put that straight out by saying, you know, don't worry about that. I'm not saying it because of that. I'm saying it because of the other. And actually, I think by being that collaborative and having those monthly meetings, and you can't have monthly meetings with every partner, so I'm not saying that's the answer, that's not the toolkit, but what we did through you is identify a problem and put a solution together of, right, we need to work closer, so let's put the monthly meetings in, which is right, the right kind of intervention for that relationship to improve. And by doing that, we've collaborated loads. There's evidence all the time going out of shared ways of working, which is, it's quite nice, really. It makes you feel like that small team of 12 at Active Lincolnshire, you know, fighting above our weight. Well, actually, we've got some mates over here. We've got, you know, there's another team of, I don't know, 50 odd people probably across One New Lincolnshire that are allies and are on a similar sort of, and then obviously we can replicate that with other organisations as well. But yeah, that was a good one. And I think going back to the purpose of this podcast, the key bit was the fact you were able to have that conversation as an embedded person, but not an employee of, and you were able to unlock that information from them that they might have felt uncomfortable talking to us about. And I think we had more evidence of that with partners who are maybe not delivery partners, but more system partners, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the conversations I had with health partners were really enlightening, especially as you were moving towards the transition to the ICB. Again, around kind of understanding what the role of active linkage is, and a feeling that perhaps, you know, you really want to be in there and you want to be kind of in the mix strategically. And I really got that, you know, that impression from you through the whole of your team. But the perception was in health that perhaps you were taking a little bit of a back seat, being a little bit too polite about it, and that actually you needed to kind of throw yourself out there because they don't know what you're not telling them. So you've got to kind of be brave, go and have those conversations and say what it is that you want to do in that arena. So yeah, again, I think that was kind of like a stepping point to actually kind of take those conversations to the people that you want to work with. And again, not sitting back and thinking that, assuming that they know what you want to do, because they, until you tell them, they just don't.
Well, certainly when you did those round of interviews, there was a line that you repeated back to us. Obviously, it was anonymous. I don't know who said it, but it was something along the lines of, you, active linkage, you need to stop waiting to be invited and take the lead. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I've obviously carried that with me in the way I've worked in some other meetings. And when we've had internal discussions about things, I've been able to tell, remember, Rebecca was told this by a partner. And it does give you a little kick up the backside to think, okay, is there an opportunity to lead here with a message or a direction or a, even just an opinion, I suppose, rather than waiting for somebody else to invite you in. And I think that was probably a bit circumstantial with the way that everything was evolving and changing at their side, but also a wake up call to us that if we just sit here and wait, it ain't going to happen. It'll just happen around us. We need to make sure we're there fighting above our weight again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think listening to those, it's often those small comments that really kind of like light something up and go, do you know what, we need to do something just a little bit different and make ourselves heard, but in a positive way. You know, they're asking to hear you, but you've got to be brave and go and do that.
Here comes Brave Charlie with the next question. No, is it me again?
Yeah, I've got questions ready.
And I think I've just seen you scribbling a load down. I'm starting to panic now.
I've got loads of questions. I guess, so if I'm another active partnership wanting to work in this space, so I think there'll be people at various stages. There might be people that have done quite a bit of work, but not had any formalised sort of evaluation or learning of their work so far. Or there may be people who are just starting out and thinking about how do we capture some of this learning so that we can, I guess, A, look at our own growth and development in this place and kind of do a bit of a process evaluation and improve as we go in that continuous improvement. But B, also talk to our partners about what's changing, what we're doing, what impact we're having. And that could be board, it could be local partner organisations, it could be Sport England. What advice, what tips, what approaches could other people in other active partnerships use to try and measure their impact when it's not numbers? Becca, have you got a sort of some nuggets of advice?
It's quite a big question. I think, obviously I'm going to say this, but there is certainly value in having somebody independent who can kind of look at those perspectives and bring that back to you. But if you're not in a position to be able to do that, I think it's a lot around kind of listening and trying and challenging your own assumptions and perceptions. So how are you working? How are you kind of, what are your behaviours and what are your partner's behaviours? And trying to kind of look at those and try and put yourself in other people's shoes. A lot of what I do is around just almost just holding a mirror up to say, this is what your behavior is, this is how you are doing things, how do you think that looks to your other partners? And you know, you guys at the moment are in a really good position that I can do that and I can show you that mirror, and I can also kind of like do the same for your partners as well, so you've got that constant kind of reflection going backwards and forwards. But I think, you know, what active partners really need to do is think about what their behaviours are, and remember that behaviours become really ingrained over time. You get set in these patterns of working, and just thinking about, can we just do things slightly differently? Because often a really little nudge and a little change can make quite a big difference to how a relationship works. And I think also as well, just being with all the active partnerships that I've worked with in the last few years, there's often been they have got really strong relationships with certain partners, but there's not always a lot of bravery to go out and find new partners. So thinking outside the box, you know, we do an awful lot of mapping, and I think mapping's really helpful, but map for the right reasons. Map because you're trying to understand who are you not connected with, who could you actually build a relationship with that maybe is quite different to what you might have done before. So one example, one active partnership I was working with, they were really interested in wanting to work more closely with children and young people from deprived areas. One area they hadn't ever got looked into is working with housing associations. So working, trying to build, establish a relationship with somebody on the ground who is actually that kind of gatekeeper, that trusted person that can actually connect with the people that they really want to work with. And just by starting to build a relationship with a new partner, they suddenly opened up the door to having a whole load of other new partners they didn't even know were there, and getting all that really valuable insight on the ground, sort of understanding what was going on in a certain context. So it's kind of constant. You're such a small organisation. Don't boundary yourself. Keep thinking outside the box and working to kind of look to where the new opportunities might be. I don't know if that's the question or not, but...
The Together Fund really helped with that, hasn't it? There's an opportunity to be able to go and work with somebody different that you wouldn't maybe have worked with before. And we caught a little bit of that, didn't we, through case study in that particular piece of work.
I think, so, you know, that's a report that's out there at the moment that is on Active Lincolnshire's site as well. So you can have a look at some of the stuff we've been doing. And that's maybe where the kind of like, it shows the difference between this type of evaluation and traditional type of evaluation. It's got a bit of the traditional stuff, the kind of the what we did and all that kind of thing. But we try to delve into it a bit deeper. So kind of looking to understand what are those relationships and how can those new connections and things happen within a system to actually kind of get a bit of change going on. And we looked at whether there's people are system connectors or system translators or change agents kind of within a system, and what roles do different people play. And, you know, our change agents are those really special people and organizations that are willing to do something different and break some boundaries down and just, you know, try something. And it doesn't matter if it goes wrong or right, but they might just make a difference to actually get something started. And then there's the idea that there's also these system translators. So an active partnership is so well placed to be doing this. They understand the context, they understand the system, but they can bring different partners together and translate that knowledge between different partners as well, so they can kind of play that role. And then there's also this idea of system connectors. So that's what I was talking about before, being brave, trying to speak to somebody new and different. And can they then connect you into some new partners that you maybe you wouldn't have worked with before? So, you know, just trying to like spread out across the system and try to join up. And it's a bit like matchmaking, I suppose, really. It's trying to match those partners together that have got, you know, similar characteristics or complementary characteristics that can work together, and maybe with a little bit of money from the Together Fund could do something really different and make a big difference to a certain group that maybe, you know, where physical activity hasn't been a part of their lives. And, you know, I won't go into all the details of the case studies, but things like sensory swimming, that was a great example of how, you know, getting, that's actually enabled a whole group of people in Lincolnshire to access swimming lessons that wouldn't have been able to before in an affordable and accessible way through having those change agents and translators and connectors.
The work, Becca, and that model with the change agent, the system connector, system translator, that model, we've picked that up and we've gone, right, our next piece of work, who fits into which bit? And, you know, if we're looking at a neighbourhood piece over on the East Coast, and we're using that model and being able to go, okay, if these are the three most important bits, who have we got that can do that? And it's a great starting position rather than just defaulting to what we've maybe always done, or, you know. I think through the research, through you looking at it and finding those, we've been able to come up with a model that works for us and be able to then try and onwardly apply that.
About remembering that also they're interchangeable. One person be all of those or one of those, and not trying to pigeonhole people at all, but just using it as a tool to kind of think about if we want to do something differently, do we need to find a connector who can access all those other things that we just don't know about in the system? And then who can be that change agent to do something different and brave? And yeah, it might be one person or it might be three different ones. Who knows? But
yeah, absolutely.
Thinking about it differently.
And bringing that right down, you know, we're talking about a system that's massive, but on a neighbourhood level, it might be one person that's, you know, a personal trainer somewhere doing something different, right through to somebody maybe in a, I don't know, 1,000 people, NHS funded kind of a corporate type of world making one change. That brings me on to kind of the next bit where we soon found, didn't we, that we had this messy middle. So we've got this stuff on the ground that everyone's agreeing to, and we've got our system change agents and system translators, system connectors, and we kind of got to figure out that. And at the top, we've got our relationships of, yeah, we want to work together and this makes sense. But you kind of identified that bit in the middle, didn't you, as having a few, well, the messy middle, you called it. Just talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this kind of idea is that you've got layers of a system, so it's a bit like an onion. You've got kind of like, you've got strategics wrapped around it, and in the middle you've got much more operational stuff. And it was something that kind of came out through the looking at what's happening with the steering group and the interviews that I was doing and observing what was happening. And the interviews also that I did with strategic partners that weren't necessarily in the steering group, but they were connected to the steering group in some way through their various different organisation. And a realisation through those interviews that actually there was a block in the middle. So there was a strategic conversation that was happening, and it was around furthering physical activity within those strategic conversations, really important. But actually the strategic part, those individuals struggled to articulate what was happening in the steering group and operationally. And then the same was going the other way. So there was all this really good stuff happening operationally and all these different things happening. But do we really know what's happening in that strategic layer as well? And sort of a recognition that those kind of conversations weren't necessarily being joined up, both in the individual partner organisations, but also between the partner organisations as well. So really just highlighting that there's all this kind of support out there. There's this, oh yes, we're all on the same page, but they don't actually know what the same page is. They might be on the same page, but they don't know what the content is. And so that kind of just thinking again about, not that everything needs to be shared, but that there needs to be some conversations that are happening between those layers within the different organisations, so that that information is both being filtered out horizontally within the different layers, but also vertically. And I think that, and the reason I call it the messy middle is because it kind of gets lost in that messy middle. There's all this stuff happening that's really important, all these different people's jobs, different agendas. They've got downward pressures coming from the top saying they need to do this, that and the other, and then upward pressures from the bottom because things aren't maybe necessarily working as they should be on the ground, and things get a bit lost. But it's about trying to work out processes and ways and making sure that that knowledge, the important knowledge, is going up and down through the system so that people know what's going on, and then it can kind of like spot where the opportunities and where the barriers are as well.
I think there'll probably be some people who'll be wondering, how do you do that? And that is the $1 million question, isn't it? You know, how do you do that? But I think there's a lot to be said for flip charts and pens and not having a tool, just having the conversation, isn't it? So if I think about some of the other work we've done, like where you've been able to come and observe it and then feed back and just go, well, we're not trying to use a toolkit that worked in Manchester or London or Dorset. We're trying to come up with something ourselves and a way of working based around the relationships you've identified, the baseline that we've got, and this idea that, yeah, we need this message to go somewhere. And in one of the examples, and I'm pleased to say, you know, we've come up with having this workshop that internally they're going to do, but I'm going to be part of delivering that workshop internally. I won't name the partner, but there's a couple of partners who are going for that approach of, let's do a workshop where we talk about physical activity and active linkage's role with that. And I can add value to that by being a collaborator, not competition. And so I think we'll get there. But I think it's definitely around not having a off-the-shelf tool and just going, right, that's what we'll do. We need to create something based on the relationships and everything.
I think it's just taking that step back every so often as well and going, is what we're doing fit for purpose at this time And if it isn't, change it. And that's fine. And just because it was right 6 months ago doesn't mean it's right now. And it's all right to change things. That's absolutely fine. I think sometimes we get stuck in having meetings for meeting's sake or whatever. Actually, if it's not doing what it was supposed to do and it's done its job, move on. That's fine. Mm. But yeah, it's almost like sometimes you need permission to move on, and you don't really. You need to give yourselves permission. It's not for me to give you permission, but sometimes there's maybe someone like me can just go, is this the right thing for now?
Yeah, I'm going to give us permission to move on. Charlie, go on, you drew a breath.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point at knowing when's right to move on, or maybe something's not working. I think we're starting to do that a little bit more in our team, where we don't keep going to find a solution all the time to sustain something when maybe we're the only partner that's continually engaged or doing our actions and other partners disappear and they might have other pressures or priorities at the time, or the focus has changed on something, or we've tried to make something work for a really long time and it's too resource intensive and actually it's not going to work. And I think that comes back to being brave sometimes, isn't it? It's stepping away and saying, okay, this is not the right time for this piece of work, or this hasn't worked in the way that we thought it would. Let's go and refocus. Where do we want to go next? And do that. And sometimes you end up coming back around, and in 12 months time, the partner comes back to you and says, oh, can we pick up that conversation about this piece of work? And then it might be the right time. I think we've also had that with people, in that we talk a lot about sometimes it's the relationships, the people, those advocates, those types of people, that the connectors, you just don't have them in the space that you want to go and do some work. And you've just got, sometimes you just, it's a waiting game, isn't it? You've just got to wait to find those people to make the connections. The other thing I thought what you were saying really resonated in that communication, the mess in the middle. I think we've got a bit more comfortable saying yes to the mess and knowing that not everybody's going to know everything that we're doing, because we're doing lots of different things and working in lots of different ways in different parts of the system. But we've got a lot more comfortable with just communicating more about what we're doing in formal ways through our marketing and comms side, through this podcast as well, I suppose, is another way we're communicating what we're doing. But also whenever we're going to meetings with, I don't know, it could be someone working in cancer or someone working in MSK or someone working in outpatients, we're just communicating about what we're doing and the role we're playing. I think we've got more comfortable with it. You can never communicate enough up and down and across the system.
You've said before, Chai, as well, about how we use Rebecca in the research process with the stakeholders, don't we? You like that, don't you?
I do, because I think sometimes it's easier for Rebecca to bring a problem to the group to say, I'm observing this. What do you all think about that? Does it feel like this to you? Do you see this or do you see it differently? And that can be really hard when you're Matt or I, and the block is maybe somewhere with the system, with a piece of work. It's really hard for us to go there because it's an uncomfortable conversation. And as much as we want to have those, we also might have a relationship with them as a system partner, which we need to stay positive. Beckett, maybe you could share a little bit about an example of when you've been doing that with Active Lincolnshire.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And it's something I see in pretty much all the projects that I've been involved in. And there's real value in that, I think, of being able to frame something in a way that maybe takes the sting out of the tail slightly and puts it perhaps in a bit more of a theoretical context that resonates with everybody, so that you can kind of get the point across that perhaps there's a challenging conversation that needs to be had, but that I pose that question as opposed to the teams posing that question. And I think one of the things that has come up over the last few months with the Active Lincolnshire piece of work is actually, what is the purpose of the steering group and where have we got to with it? And perhaps that maybe is a challenging, it might be a bit difficult for Active Lincolnshire to go, is the steering group membership right for the piece of work now? It definitely was in the beginning. We've made really good progress. All these things have happened. But actually, have we got to the point where we need to think about that? And one of the things that was really interesting from that is almost most on the individual conversations I had, almost every person said, I'm not quite sure the steering group is quite right for the purpose of the work. But nobody will bring that up in that group and go, oh, this isn't perhaps working as it should be. And that's a really good example of how actually I can kind of come to the table and say, you've done great stuff, there's loads of all this positives, but perhaps you need to think about, what's your agenda at the moment? Have you got the right people around the table to fulfill that agenda? And do we need to think about kind of moving it on and changing it and doing something different? And maybe that's something that we're kind of working through a little bit at the moment and, you know, maybe needs to think about over the next few months as well. But yeah, it's certainly not supposed to be confrontational or pointing the finger because nobody's done anything wrong. It's just that it served its purpose for that time. Let's think about where we're going in the future.
I think that's a nice ending to our chat there. I think we're reaching a natural end there where, yeah, we will be reviewing everything constantly, won't we? But having that independent ability to start the difficult conversation, but not because it's difficult, people don't like each other, but far from that, more respecting the situation you're in and going, do you know what? This isn't quite fit for purpose now. We like it, but it's time to move on and onto the next thing. So, yeah, that's probably where we wrap up, isn't it? I've just snapped my pencil. Oh, dear. Fortunately, I've got another one. I was just going to recap. That's thrown me completely. I'm just going to recap on a few bits we talked about. So early on, we talked around like the shift from maybe counting things to actually looking at relationships and the expectation and perceptions of what other partners should do or could be doing. We talked a bit then around embedding that researcher within the organization. So then, Rebecca, you know us and what motivates us and how our partners might be motivated. And then obviously finally there, we were talking, weren't we, around how we get to that difficult conversation in a way where we can all go, this is difficult, but it's time to move on. Is that a good enough summary? Have I got three top tips for people to think about? That's it's not good you're both summary. Nodding. It's a podcast. Speak up. I can't believe I've snapped that pencil. It's not even mine. It's my daughter's. I'm going to be in trouble for that.
Oh, put on a Christmas list.
I know. It's because I'm fidgeting. Because you make me nervous, Charlie. That's why. Look, I've done well there.
After all this time.
I know.
Still nervous.
I think, thank you for joining us, Rebecca. I should add that as well. Thank you for your contribution. I would say not just on the podcast, but, you know, working with us. It has been really, really fun getting to know you and work with you in this way. Different to anything that I've done before.
And people can reach out to you, Becca, can't they, if they're interested in your approach, your style? Because it is in some ways, I think it is quite unique. Certainly, me is quite unique. And if people want to chat to you, you'd welcome that. Yeah. How can they get in touch on your website, Rebecca?
Yeah, so it is quite a unique approach. I tend to only have one or two projects running at a time, so I can kind of fully embrace what I'm doing with individual clients at that time. Please feel free to get in touch and have a chat if you want to. You can find my contact details on my website, which is www.rockresearchconsultancy.co.uk. Looking forward to chatting that anyone would want to.
Obviously, we will share your contact details as well. If anybody didn't quite get rockresearchconsultancy.co.uk, contact at Lincolnshire and we can put you in touch as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they can have a chat with you, can't they, Matt, about the process of evaluation and learning that you guys have
gone through and likewise, Active Dorset, they're also online. So, yes, absolutely. Always keen to have a chat, especially about this kind of work. Just before we sign off, we'll let Rebecca sign off. But before we sign off, Charlie, I just wanted to say thanks to you, bud. I've really enjoyed this. I do hope we get to do some more, because actually this kind of hour where we stop and we think and we have a chat around it. I mean, the brief first was like fireside chats, wasn't it? It was, if you were just talking about your work, what kind of things would you say? And I think there's probably a piece of learning that I've got out of it by just being able to stop and think and reflect. And I was talking to a couple of people this last week who'd been listening to the maternity one, and they were saying the same thing, where sticking the podcast on and hearing a few things and thinking through it and just having that chance to stop and think and chat, it's been really good for me. So thank you for making it enjoyable, Charlie. And we will do a Christmas special, won't we?
You're very welcome. Yeah, I haven't sat by a fire while we've recorded this, so that's disappointing because that's what I had in mind in some leather armchair. But no, it's been really useful reflection time. Thank you for introducing me to the world of podcasting, Max. I know you're a seasoned pro. Somewhere there's a back catalogue of podcasts that you've definitely done, I'm sure. No. But yes, and thanks to everybody that's given us a listen and sent some feedback or some requests for further information, because that's really welcome. We're trying to make this as useful as we can for people to listen to. So please tell us what you've found useful or what you haven't found useful equally. And I think we might do a few more. We'll try and do a Christmas special if we can find time. I'm sure we can. But if people have got thoughts on kind of a future set of episodes, if we do a sort of series two, let us know what's useful when you're out there doing the work. It might not be that we've done it, but we can invite a guest on from somewhere else who's done some work in that area. Or if you yourself have got a great guest in mind, let us know. We're really happy to kind of create a series of podcasts that are most interesting to the network.
Yeah. Brilliant. Oh, I feel kind of like it's the end. Like, roll titles, eh? Roll titles. Thank you, everybody that's listened, and good luck with it. Hope it's useful. And we will speak to you again, hopefully, with the Christmas special soon. But if not, maybe next year with some more Tales from Two Counties.